Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades, and with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. Well, postseason basketball is here. We're full tilt into it. We already have Jefferson District champions. We got Bull Run champions. We got a Bull Run team. Madison lost tonight in the Central against Central Woodstock or Lunenburg, or whatever.
Woodstock, yep.
Yeah, Woodstock. So a loss there for Madison County, but a good run for them. They picked up a big win in the semifinals. Playoff basketball is here in a really big way. And we want to get started, though, with the Smooth Operators of the Week, C&G Smooth Operators of the Week. And it's got to start at Sydney Sherman. I think that Western Alamore girls basketball has shown that one of the big deciding factors, I think, and one of the biggest weapons you can have is a post player who can finish. Mm-hmm. And Sydney Sherman has been doing that. In the Jefferson District Tournament, she had 13 points and 13 boards in the semifinal, and then she had 17 points and 7 boards in the final. That's a really darn good performance from a sophomore post player.
Yeah, and she's playing against good competition there. A Charlottesville team that always plays great defense. And so you got to like what you're seeing from Western, particularly late down the stretch here. They bounce back from that Monticello loss pretty nice. And when you have a point guard like Elizabeth Kaufman, and you compare that with Sherman, somebody who's a reliable answer for them down low, I mean, it really gives you such a great 1-2 punch and allows Western, just from a ball distribution standpoint, to be a really versatile, dangerous team.
Sherman is so good at putbacks. She also gets some stuff within the flow of the game. Ellie Plants hit her with a really nice little under move, just hit her, and Sydney Sherman can actually create with the ball a little bit. She made this sort of sweeping action across the lane and then found and passed it to somebody, got it, picked up an assist there. That is a versatile, when you've got a tall 6-foot, almost 6-foot kid that, can put the ball on the floor, can do a little bit of that, can play with her back to the basket, can crash the boards. I mean, very clear how much progress she made over the last year to get herself into this position to be able to contribute in a big way, and just an easy pick for Smooth Operator.
Yeah, I mean, there was a huge void left there by Ellery Hayden when she graduated.
Yeah, good call.
And Sherman
yeah.
has really done a good job picking those minutes up, and that allows Western to get right back to where they finished off last year and try and take a step ahead.
Yeah. So that's their girls' Smooth Operator of the Week. On the boys' side, really hard not to like. They're in the middle of this. They got one more game this week, but this was a huge week for Woodbury Forest boys basketball. They had to have some wins, and they had to get it going. They're fighting for their life, trying to get into a state tournament. They're in that dreaded also receiving votes category for BISA Division I. I think it's 12 teams get in. They're sitting right there as like the 13th team. They're the only team not in the top 12 receiving votes. So they had their shot. Huge
huge couple of wins this week. They beat Stab, they beat St. Chris, and they got one more against Fork Union coming up on Friday, but just a big performance, and it's Max Johns getting the job done for them.
Yeah, you look at the 25 points against St. Chris, 22 against Stab. That's pretty good. Johns, I mean, if you've seen him play, I mean, he's headed to Princeton for a reason. He can play, but he's a smart kid, man. He's as far as guard play goes, I mean, it never hurts to have a guy who knows how to tinker like he does. And he's tough as nails. He's kind of a gritty, wiry guy that can slip through everything. Just a great shooter. I mean, you pair him up with another talent of his like on that team, and you have something really special. And we'll see if Woodbury can figure that out.
I think we saw that a couple of years ago when it was Johns and Foley in the backcourt. Foley's a guy who's going Division I guy. He went back out to California, I think, to Menlo, and has done really good things out there. But when they were in the backcourt as sophomores, man, they were something special. But Johns is really getting it done. And around them, they've got a bunch of guys playing really hard defense. They got guys coming up with clutch shots when they got to have them. Kyle Bilodeau, they got Jamil Wilson. They've got, you know, some different guys who are kind of stepping up and making some big plays for them. But it really comes down to what Johns is getting done and taking care of business. And they're doing it against really, really good. You talked about good competition for Sherman. Really good competition in that prep league.
The prep league tournament's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's going to be great. Last year, Trinity was so far ahead of everybody.
Yeah, it did feel that way.
Yeah, you know, there wasn't much anybody could do about it this year. It's a little bit different. Everybody's beating on everybody. I mean, St. Anne's has the capability to beat just about anybody in the prep league. St. Chris can do the same. Collegiate can do the same. All these squads are really even. And so I think it's going to make for one heck of a dance.
Yeah, Trinity, let's be clear. Trinity loaded again.
Yeah.
They don't maybe have all the crazy guys that they've had before, but Coleman and Baycott, I mean, that's enough right there. I don't know what else you got.
If you haven't seen Coleman play, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a younger guy who can really play. Baycott's a guy who has all the offers. Yeah. Coleman's going to get all the offers if he doesn't have them already.
I think he's already got one from North Carolina, but yeah, that's a pretty good start.
If you got the Carolina offer, or you got, you know, the Duke offer, you got the Kentucky offer, you have all the offers.
Yeah, he looks like a 24-year-old out there playing, and he's a sophomore, so that's a problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the two times St. Anne's has played them, it's been a close game. So, yeah, I mean, this is huge for Woodbury, though. They've been working really hard to try and get, you know, a decent seeding in this tournament, and then also, like you said, get into the state tournament. I mean, I think it would mean the world to that program, the effort that they put into it.
And to Johns himself, man, I mean, this is a guy who was out last year, all last year hurt, comes back this year, and he's got to be the guy. And that's a lot of pressure to put on a guy who's still returning from injury, but he's finally finding his groove in a big way, man. 25 and 22 this week. Maybe has another one left in him when they play Fork Union. Tough place to play. St. Anne's went down there and lost as well. But like you said, the Prep League tournament is shaping up to be a really darn good one. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And look out for that collegiate. And St. Chris, man, has this Gibson Jimerson kid.
Oh, he's a scorer, man.
Dude, he just fills up. He's like Jimmer Fredette from BYU back in the day a little bit. He's just absolutely filling it up. I think he had 38 in the loss to Woodbury. 38 of like their 47. I mean, just crazy numbers. So if you get a chance to get out there and see some of this Prep League tournament action, definitely do. So a huge week coming up. And we got a bunch of games actually on Friday. We've got a lot more coming on Monday. And we're just going to kind of break it down for you and let you know, you know, what things look like and what teams are kind of set up for. And let's start with the 2A teams. You know, let's start with the smaller schools, Goochland, Buckingham, Madison, Nelson. All these schools are getting a shot in the playoffs, and we're going to see how it all starts to shake out for them.
Yeah, well, I think Goochland boys will be particularly interesting to see. Keep an eye on them. They had so much return from last year's run where they didn't quite get out of their conference. I feel like they're going to be sort of frothing at the mouth to get further. They're already in the region tournament,
sure.
So they're feeling good about that. But picking up playoff wins is what it's about for them. They've got a pretty deep core of guards, so I think that'll be huge for them. And then Madison is another one to watch. I mean, Kobe Alexander is such a great post player.
Named the Bull Run Player of the Year this just tonight.
I mean, around him, you've got Elijah Lewis, who's this great defender, but also can light it up. He can shoot from outside and hit some runners. He's got just a great jump shot overall. And then you've got Gaines Swink, who's, I mean, he's a sniper. So if they get hot, that's a team. I know that they had a really rough start to the year, but it seems like when they get the chemistry together, that's a squad that could do some real damage, particularly when they start playing the postseason games that they were used to playing last 2 years, basically. So those are the two I think you definitely have to keep a watch on. But also, I mean, congratulations to Nelson. What an improvement this year.
Nelson has really turned things around. They travel to Giles. Buckingham is at Glenver. Buckingham is a really young team under a new head coach in Taylor Boyers.
That's the youngest team I've ever seen on paper. I mean, it is just
freshman, sophomore.
Buckingham's going to be good in a couple years. You watch.
I think Jerry Toney is the young freshman for him who's been playing really well.
He does everything for that
game. All James River guys were underclassmen. Things were looking pretty good for Buckingham. They're going to keep getting better. So fun to see on the girls' side. You got the Buckingham girls are actually hosting Nelson County. And then you got the Goochland girls that are the 3 seed. They host King William in their tournament. Goochland girls won the James River championship and have played really darn well. So, two teams certainly to look for, Goochland and Buckingham. They could make little runs. Those regions, we don't know a lot about those regions because
I think projecting
they're different this year.
Projecting particularly on the girls' side, the James River district teams into region play, it's really tough.
Yeah.
And we've seen this before under the old format where the records can be deceitful.
Yeah.
You're getting teams from other districts that have a lot of big schools. Like, look at the way the JD is built up. The James River isn't built that way. They're all 1As and 2As.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of hard to know what to expect going forward. But hopefully, they're able to rally and keep their season alive next week.
No question about it. So moving up. Let's go ahead and flip all the way up. Let's talk about Orange and Almar. Those two teams, two schools are getting in the mix. The Orange boys have been a massively improved basketball team this year. Adam Lutz has just done a bang up job with them, and they have to take on William Fleming. And if they win that, they get a chance to play Almar again. So, it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. But going down and beating for an Orange County team to get a shot at playing a team like William Fleming down there in Roanoke, that's a great step for them. It's a real opportunity for them to really make some noise. Could be fun to see what Kayshawn Braxton's able to do. If he gets loose, he gets going a little bit, they can really be a tough team.
And that's been the name of their game so far. And you look at the wins that they picked up early on in the season and the win at the end of the year over Charlottesville. When Kayshawn brings it, they're able to really put together a really nice product on the floor. Orange, I think, gets a little bit of an advantage of having played so many good teams. You got a couple times against Charlottesville, a couple times against Western, a couple times against Louisa, a couple times against Albemarle. I feel like you've been in the playoffs, basically, fighting for your life the whole time anyways. So now they get to play with house money. They got nothing to lose. That'll be fun for them going forward.
No question. And Albemarle, they get the bye. They get to wait and see how that Orange-William Fleming game shakes out. They don't have to play till Wednesday, and you got to like how Almar has turned it on.
I mean, it's a one-loss team that is as experienced as you could be in the playoffs. They know what's on the line.
How does a team become so experienced when they lost two guys like Catcher and Hahn?
We've talked about it. The rebuilding year for Almar was not this year. It was last year.
Yeah.
And they had the first playoff run that they made, when they went to the Final Four. There was a ton of seniors on that team. Replaced them last year, and so the seniors this year, they were the young ones last year. And so I think as much as it hurt to lose Castro and Hahn, there was just this little backup plan in place, and mm-hmm. and Jaquan was able to take the reins and do what he's done this year, which is just he's the guy.
And it also is that like everybody who has the ball in their hands can create. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Max Jarman, Kayshawn
Allen's really underrated.
He had two huge buckets against Louisa down the stretch.
And he's tough.
Yeah.
You really got to like the year that he's having. But, yeah, I mean, I think Albemarle, what I like about this team is, they sort of walk the way that their record is. Like, they walk with that swagger. And they're a team that plays really well with energy. When gyms are hyped up and everything, they respond to it. And it makes them fun to watch, but it's also a good sort of good brand of basketball they're putting out there when they have it.
No question. On the girls' side, Almar girls host Halifax in a sort of pigtail game. They'll play in, I think that one's on Monday. So that's a big game for them. And then, after that, you have to look at the Division III and Division IV teams, and we got a bunch of them that have the opportunity to make some big runs. The Louisa County boys, they're coming off a really tough defeat to Alomar. That's got to be a frustrating one, but they're going to be a number one seed in their region tournament. It sets up pretty well for them. Things could get really interesting fast for a Louisa County team that's loaded with depth and loaded with kids who know how to win athletic contests. Yeah. That's the best way that I can say it. Yeah. They know how to win football games. They're figuring out how to win basketball games too.
Yeah, I mean, what's cool about Louisa is just how much winning they've done with depth. I mean, you, at the start of the year, maybe you thought, okay, Jarrett Hunter's going to be the guy for them, and he's just going to pour it in every night. And he's been playing great, but they don't need that from him. Mm-hmm. You can get it one night from Chris Shelton. You can get it one night from Hunter. You can get it all over the place. Malik Bell can do it for him. They've just got a lot of options. Williams, I mean, yeah. So it's pretty cool to watch them. And because then defensively, they're able to play at a pace that's just really fast. They can sub five guys in, sub five guys out. Realistically speaking, it keeps you out of foul trouble, too. So it's really cool what they've been able to do. And I think they, of all teams, will be the most excited to sort of branch out of the Jefferson District. Playing the sort of the region for them, that they're all football schools, basically.
Yeah.
So they're going to be able to, I don't know, there's a lack of familiarity there. They're not playing Western for the 25th time or something like that. I think that's really going to benefit them going forward.
I think it'd be interesting to see. I mean, those guys have done really well in football. They've done really well in basketball. Is there a chance you can talk Malik Bell, Joe Whalen, Brandon Smith, those guys into playing some soccer this spring? Like, let's let them loose on the pitch. Let's see what happens. I'm just saying that collection of athletes, Shelton, both Hunters, like all those guys, I'd like to see what would happen if you just let them get loose on a soccer field.
Real missed opportunity. This is the year Louisa should have launched the boys lacrosse program.
Boys lacrosse program. You put Brandon Smith, I don't care. Defense, attack, I don't care, wherever. Like, you put him on one end of the field, you figure out something to do with you. You put Malik Bell would find a way to fill it up as a lacrosse player. There's no question about it. And Joe Whalen would be one of the sweetest attackmen that you've seen. I agree. Total missed opportunity. Louisa, let's
get
together.
You only had to do it for 1 year.
It's just a year. Let's just see what happens if you drop those 15 dudes into the Jefferson District in lacrosse. I'd just like to see what would happen. In any event, On the girls' side in Class 4, you've got the Charlottesville girls. They're hosting GW Danville. The Louisa girls play in a pigtail game in, but the Charlottesville girls are really the team to watch. They're playing in that 4D. It's not the same as the region or conference that they played in before, but there's some similar teams that are in that mix, especially from the region. GW Danville, we've seen a number of times in a number of different sports in the region tournament for Charlottesville. And the Charlottesville girls, you got to feel like, coming off a tough loss to Western Alomar in the Jefferson District Final. But it's going to be pretty exciting to see what this team can do, like you said, once you get outside the region, outside the district, and get a chance to play people that haven't seen you a bunch.
Yeah, and this team, I mean, talk about a team with nothing to lose. They have one senior. So Charlottesville, I mean, every win they get here is fruit down the road for years later. I mean, they've got a really nice young core between T.C. Younger and Jessica Antwi.
How did Lamb this young almost steal a Jefferson District title?
That's pretty nuts. And that tells you the state of Charlottesville basketball.
And a share of the regular season. They got a share. This is a team that lost Elijah Ragland and Destiny. They lost McDonald. They lost. They had three other kids, all part of that Burley Five that were so tough. They lost them all. And they came back and they still managed to get a share of the
all those
JV.
Kids, yeah. I mean, it's pretty nuts. I think we kind of got used to it under the old format when Harry Terrell was the coach. It was like Charlottesville just always won, and nobody else got to win. And then things sort of turned around. Fluvanna came in and won a JD tournament.
Lloyds.
And then the Monticello, sort of their meteoric rise for a while. And
Molly Shepard, Megan Comer.
Lost in the mix is that Charlottesville really didn't go anywhere.
No. They were always there.
They were, at the worst, they were the runner-up in these tournaments. But they've won a whole bunch of JD tournaments in the last years. It's just quietly under the radar, this is like a program. The Kendall Ballard years are long gone, and they're still winning games. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kudos to them. Different group of kids every time, and this one is a really young group, and they get really timely baskets. It'll be if you see their score sheet, there'll be like one or two kids in double figures, but then everybody on the team has 4 points or 5 points, and it'll be a big three pointer. You know, a clutch point of the game taken by a kid coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen from them Casey Lamb with some great defense, and that's another young player stepping up for them. It's just fun to watch, and they're going to be really good going forward. It's a good thing for Jim Daly. One senior is a good place to be.
Yeah, and you got to get over to Jim. Guy continues to just coach his butt off year in and year out. It doesn't matter whether he's facing Megan Walker from Monica with Alasia and Destiny, or he's trying to figure out a way to beat a Monticello team on a Tuesday night. The guy's always bringing it. Has a lot of respect throughout the league and throughout the area.
You can tell his kids like playing for him. I mean, goes a long ways.
And he gets kids to play hard, man. That's a big step. He's got a bunch of kids who are playing hard, a bunch of kids who are playing smart. So it's a lot of fun to see. Kudos to Charlottesville girls, and hopefully they can put together a little run. GW Danville, you know, having them at home Friday night, that's a really good, you know, place to start for them. So that takes care of sort of the Division 14, and that brings us to the Division 3, where we've got some teams that can make some runs. William Monroe girls, let's start there. They are set up for a pretty good run.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some time off. So if anybody needed to get healthy, hopefully they were able to do it. But, yeah, I mean, it obviously starts with Sam Brunel. There's no other way to put it. And we'll see. I mean, you can only get but so much production out of her, right?
Right.
You know, 40 points, 40 rebounds.
It might be enough night in and night out.
It's going to be the pieces around her in the playoffs that sort of tell you how far this team's going to go. I think this team will have a little bit of a chip on its shoulder. I think the last 2 years have sort of worn on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what they put forth.
I think you're going to see Sam Brunel, and Haley Morris has a really gritty element to her game at point guard. And Velasquez girl, I think she plays really, really tough. And they got the Beals, mm-hmm. who are just kind of tenacious, tough, pestering defenders. And I think when you put all those pieces together, this is a team that could play with a little bit of, not a little bit, a lot of fire. Mm-hmm. When it really comes down to it, they've had some disappointment. And the ones who haven't had disappointment have been told about it, or they've seen it, or they've been around it. And I think that, you know, we could see Sam Brunel go into full tilt Terminator mode throughout this region. The region sets up pretty nicely for them. They open up as the one seed. They host TJ Richmond on Friday. I think that'll be, they'll have to kind of get going. But Brentsville's in this region. That's a Brentsville team that they have had some struggles with in the past, and they were completely locked down defensively against them just a week ago. So I think you got to feel pretty good about how this is setting up for William Monroe, and they've just got to kind of bring it every night, and they've got to kind of make sure that they're ready and they're squared
away. That's the key there, too, because they ran over their district. I mean, just like a freight train right through them. So they're going to be getting better competition this time around, and the key for them is, you know, you can't come out flat in the first half of a game.
No question. And so it's going to be fun to see. Maybe this is the year they put it together and we could be looking at a state quarterfinalist type team, but they've got to kind of take care of business every single night. It's going to be a lot of fun to see it. The William Monroe boys, on the flip side, get a very difficult matchup in the first round. They play a John Marshall team that's loaded with talent. But William Monroe boys, a complete rebuild that they've had this year, they got to be excited about, you know, what's in the future for them.
Yeah.
Because they lost everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, just that roster got shredded.
Yeah.
And so this is a great job to get into the playoffs and, you know, to line up against an opponent like John Marshall. Like, here's your reward. but this is a good opportunity for them. They're going to be able to play against some great talent and really sort of work things out. This is what the playoffs look like. Let's get some minutes out here. Yeah.
There's some guys, I believe, on this John Marshall team they're going to be telling their kids about that they played against. It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out for them. But a very difficult first-round opponent for William Monroe, but a heck of a year considering everything they lost. And Alex Kinsey has played some really good basketball over the last few weeks. So, again, just a shout-out to William Monroe. They've played really well. When you look at the Jefferson District Class 3 teams, things get, you know, pretty interesting, pretty fast. The Western boys, you know, that's they host Broadway. The Monticello boys got in with a win over Fluvanna tonight in the region play-in game. They play at Rustburg now. But Western hosted Broadway. This is a Western team that, because of all the battles Almar and Louisa have had, has kind of flown under the radar. But this is a lot better basketball team than you think they are.
If you're Western, you're feeling great because now you're only playing against Class 3 teams.
Absolutely. And the teams they've had trouble with, what are they? 5-4s.
Yeah.
The Almars, the Louises, they played to those teams like 18 times, yeah. It feels like.
So they're feeling pretty good about their playoff bracketing. I mean, they've got the pieces. You've got a tremendous scorer in Chris McGarren. I mean, he's just a great shooter. You got a nice post presence in Teo Rampini, mm-hmm. Garrett Payne.
Garrett Payne's a really versatile kid, man.
So I think this is a pretty cool team. And another team loaded with playoff experience that sort of gets forgotten in the Albemarle runs is that Western played a lot of playoff games, too.
Yeah, well, I think that's what you got to be excited about is, and I would venture to say that this is the team that may surprise the most people. I think Albemarle makes a deep run. They're coming off 2 Final Four runs. Yeah. You know, if Western makes a deep run, it really shouldn't surprise you. But I feel like that this year they just kind of quietly went about their business, finished third in the district, and this is Darren Maynard said it several times that. They kept losing sort of these big games or sort of these games that you were against, like you said, against Division V teams, Division IV teams, and he kept losing those. But realistically, they haven't lost that many games. They played really good basketball. And McGarren, man, if he heats up, he gets loose, like that's going to get they become really tough to beat because he's a matchup nightmare. He's a big, tall kid shooting out there on the outside. Payne is also a matchup nightmare. There's a lot to like. I think Western Albemarle. It could end up being that team that, like, we're sitting in a week and a half, and we're like, wait, whoa, Western is still around. Yeah, I think there's no question they can make that kind of run.
And Western does it the same year with two basic things. I mean, they're always sound defensively, and they hit their free throws.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you what a difference that makes in the playoffs. Teams that hit their free throws tend to win.
No question.
And so I will not be surprised if Western makes a run because of that.
Yeah. So then you flip over, and, just to kind of clean up a few teams that we haven't talked about, the Charlottesville boys are at Bassett. That's going to be a tough – it's a interesting matchup for them, actually. I mean, Charlottesville has played really well at times this year. Now they got to make a really long road trip, but they've got – Sam Neal got loose last week and played really well.
Emmanuel Wells, really tough.
Wells, man, that guy's a good player. You put those two guys on the road – I'll go to war with them. I think those are guys who can maybe get that done. And we've seen that before where a Charlottesville boys team last year went down and got the job done on the road, became a little bit of road warriors. So maybe that experience pays off for them in this situation right here. On the girl side, a local-on-local matchup that opens Region 3C, Fluvanna County at Western. That's a really big matchup for both teams. We talked about the Western girls. We talked about Sydney Sherman. They dodged each other in the Jefferson District tournament, which is probably a good thing because they've already seen each other twice.
Mm-hmm.
So this one sets up to be
it's a rubber
pretty
match.
Interesting.
I mean, they split the regular season.
That's right, yeah.
So it's you don't know what can happen in this one. You would think that Western comes in feeling great, but you know that they're like, well, they got us in December. So
yeah,
it was
a long time ago, but
yeah.
It still sits in the back of your mind, and I think that you're going to see – I mean, Western got Shannon Moore back this week. She adds another layer of depth, Shannon Moore is one of those players who, like, is one of the better defenders in the area. I think Sierra Smith, if you're going to really start arguing about Sierra Smith at Stab, is the best defender in the post in the area. But Shannon Moore is in that category, too. She plays really good lockdown defense. She can guard a number of different positions. You add her back into the mix, they're going to get even stingier. And then you've got Sherman and Driver. They've got three post players who can really play. They've got Anna O'Shea knocking down threes. And I haven't even gotten to Elizabeth Kaufman, who's probably the best player in the district. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take all that, you put it together, you throw in Ellie Plants. I mean, this is a Western team that looks like they have learned their identity, they figured it out. On the flip side, you get a Fluvanna team that is still young.
Very.
But has talent. You got Nevaeh Ivory down there. You got
Kia Scott, yeah.
Yeah, Kia Scott is another one who can really play. They got some players who can really play. And they have found a way to win games that they had to win. So this is one that they've got to win if they want to stay alive. Can they get it done at Western? You know, on the road, they've beaten them there. They've beaten them. So they have a shot. And so it's going to be fun to see that.
Yeah, I mean, and just talking with Chad White after Fluvanna lost to Charlotte. So, I mean, the key for Fluvanna going forward is not about energy. They have that every night. And they're, you know, the team hustles up and down the floor nonstop. And their games are very sort of action-packed. The key for them is just simple execution. Cleaning up the turnovers, knocking down free throws. Real simple stuff, easier said than done, but they have the talent to win these games. They just have to go out there and do it.
So let's summarize for everybody. When you're in the playoffs, play defense, hit your free throws. That's really all it takes.
I mean, that's a pretty good foundation to build on. You don't have to do a whole lot after that.
No question. So we're going to be covering a ton of this playoff action coming up. And there's other stuff that's going on out there right now. We got state swimming. We got state wrestling really ramping up. Region track teams did really well in region track. We're going to have a lot of that coverage coming up on the website. So certainly check it out. Stick with us. Follow us on Twitter. And make sure that you're staying up on an incredible, like, it feels like 100 basketball games over the next few weeks. Because you got Prep League, you got LIS, you got VIC. All that stuff is also coming up in a big way. So
it's going to be a busy couple weeks.
Yeah, lock in. Lock in with us. So we'd love to have you along. Thanks for listening.